John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards. Welcome in the third hour, Robbie and Rex Rode, Thursday edition. Joe Rex Rode here with the legendary, venerable Mark Howard in for Robbie Stanley, Ryan Porth producing. And guys, we're going to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball in Nashville. Mark, a topic you enjoy, or maybe not.
Oh, I do.
Well, look, the backstory here, of course, is we've got the Oakland A's. And the Oakland A's are basically flexing a little bit here and saying, hey, let's step it up with this project they want done, or we're looking around. So first of all, your initial reaction to that story when it broke from Jeff Passan of ESPN the other day was what?
Well, I think all of us are surprised that they've waited this long. They've had – I mean, that place, if you've been there – I've been there – as a baseball fan, and also, you know, covering the Titans against the Raiders is a dump.
It's not great.
It's not even not great. It's awful. There's no mystery why the Raiders fled to Vegas. I just don't see Nashville. I think MLB wants, and you know, the biggest game changer in sports, and I remember you wrote a column decrying the evils of gambling if it was going to come. Well, I got news for you, bro. It's here and it's not going away.
It's here.
And it's amazing. It's amazing how all of these sports have hopped into bed with DraftKings, you know, FanDuel, which is fine. Yeah, and I've always been a gambling proponent because I felt like if everything went the way that it should, then, you know, it's going to be a big boon financially. But once this happened, I think pro sports totally changed their attitude about Las Vegas. And I just feel like MLB sees, you know, what's happened with the Raiders, with the Golden Knights. And I think they want to go to Vegas first and foremost. And, you know, you've got the Portland market that's way ahead of Nashville in terms of a stadium and infrastructure and everything else. Listen, I respect what these guys are doing here. It's my fervent wish that I'll be alive if we ever get a major league team. But I see us third, fourth, or fifth in line. The Carolinas are believed to be ahead of us. I mean, right now, first of all, they're going to need a mayor like Phil Bredesen. Mayor Cooper, bless his heart, he's in an impossible position given what's happened with COVID-19 and you know, the incredible growth and the shortfall in the budget and everything like that. We're just not going to get tax dollars to help build the stadium. You know, and I know these guys have said that they would privately build it and all that, but that takes a lot of money. It also takes real estate, and that's the other problem. I just don't see it happening for a while. You know, we might look back in 20 years and say, luckily these guys started the march. But I think the whole thing, you know, Oakland to Nashville is pie in the sky.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, as we're sitting here, and I agree, look, these guys have done a lot of work, and I respect what they're doing, and they've got some momentum. They've got some ideas. But if you're talking about starting an expansion franchise, I'm sorry. It's hard to take it seriously until I know who your billionaire is, right? I mean, where is this money?
Yeah.
Now, the idea of a team relocating, that does – I mean, that skips that step, and that's a pretty big one, right, in theory.
Well, and the other problem too, Joe, is that there's going to be another collective bargaining agreement after this season. And that presumably will not touch expansion. So that could be for 5 years, 10 years. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're praying that a franchise falls out of the sky. You pray that suddenly Tampa Bay, you know, wants – I mean, Tampa Bay would have been the perfect situation. But remember, Major League Baseball wants to get back to Montreal. They've got a stadium ready. They've got it all lined up. And I think they feel a little guilt about taking the Expos away. So, again, Nashville is fourth, fifth, or sixth in line.
Now, of course, I mean, see, Rob Manfred is the guy who really brought this up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some regard for Nashville in the MLB offices, but...
Well, there is, because we know this is a city that is exploding in terms of growth and population. And when you have more people, yeah, you've got businesses like Major League Baseball that would like to get a piece of the action. Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no. Well, right. I mean, and so like that, I look at this city and I don't feel like it's ready. But we were talking before the show, you were talking about, you know, previously maybe it could have happened. Now, that's a different city at that time.
Yeah.
But that's also before you had – now you've got, obviously, you've got the Titans, you've got the Preds, you got Nashville SC. You know, can this city – if everything were in place, you know, if you had ownership, you had a place to build, and that's a huge question, because the Titans are not – they're not down with this idea that these guys have, right?
Yeah, they don't want to share.
Yeah, they're not, you know, like the bridge and everything, bring it up. I mean, that's just, yeah. That's a great mock-up, but it's not what the Titans want. And so, but if it were in place, could this city support a Major League Baseball team for 81 home games and all those things? Do you believe?
I think it'd be difficult. On one hand, this is a really underrated baseball area in terms of youth baseball and participation. You know, I think Vanderbilt has shown, you know, just how popular, you know, baseball is in this area. But Major League Baseball, I mean, you throw it in with the Titans, the Predators, Nashville SC, and you've got a pretty crowded market. It's why you never hear the NBA talk about coming to Nashville. For, you know, there were a few years once the Preds got here that you heard rumblings that they were going to build their own arena and all that. But, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll believe that when I see it. And before the Preds got here, we almost had the Spurs. I'm sure you know the history. But as far as baseball is concerned, yeah, Rob Manfred, and understand, he's never going to say never to any city. And I'm sure he'll tell you, the positives and the vicissitudes of Nashville and why it would be a great member of Major League Baseball. But that, in my mind, it's far off into the future.
All right, we're going to continue this discussion. If you want to get in on it, call or text 615-737-1025. We're going to keep talking about Nashville and Major League Baseball. Is it viable at all? Here on Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The saga of the Oakland A's and their new stadium is turning into a pressure-filled situation as the league and the team is now asking the city to move on the $855 million they're asking to contribute to the new stadium. Otherwise, they're going to leave. Now, there is precedent for this kind of pressure. In 1988, the Chicago White Sox threatened to go to St. Petersburg, Florida, if the Illinois Assembly didn't approve a new stadium and funds for it. That's the same kind of pressure the A's and the league are putting on the city of Oakland and the surrounding area. If they decide to leave, there'll be plenty of cities that are lined up to take the Oakland A's. Las Vegas would be number one. But first and foremost is a resolution in Oakland. We're at the beginning of the end of this saga.
Welcome back. Robbie and Rex Rowe, Joe Rex Rowe, Mark Heyer, Ryan Porth producing. That was Jesse Rogers on ESPN talking about the Oakland A's and the their ultimatum, I guess, delivered, and the idea that maybe they'll end up elsewhere. So first of all, what do you think is going to happen here? Do you think that this is that Oakland, which of course has lost the Raiders, now has the Warriors playing in San Francisco? Do you think that this works and they stay and they get their waterfront stadium, or do you think they're going to be somewhere else?
Oakland's got a lot of problems. I don't live there. I don't know the intricate details of what's going on in terms of budget, but you know they're in crisis mode. Yeah, I think they're going to lose the A's. And you look around at professional sports teams now, and teams are a lot less likely to move than they would have 10 or 15 years ago. I really believe that. I think that cities now understand, you know, the value of these teams, but I also believe that it's a lot harder for these franchises to basically, you know, extort these sweetheart deals from these municipalities like they used to. You got to build your own stadium. But I do think the A's, again, you know, I think Vegas would be the perfect place for the A's to go. But again, you know, they could get a good deal from Portland. I just think once they open themselves up to free agency, and that's a that's an organization that has tons of talent. That the argument could be you bring them here,
you got a winner. You
know, they can spend more money. Yeah, exactly. So I see them. I see Oakland losing the Athletics.
Yeah, I mean it's. We were talking off air, and to your point about municipalities and public money going back in the day when Nashville was transformed and a referendum that passes, right? I mean, I just feel like here in a lot of places, it's not. I mean, Atlanta somehow figured it out, right? They just keep building a new football stadium every 20 years, but I feel like it's going to be more and more difficult moving forward to pull those off. And you've got to, I mean, I think what happened with with Nashville SC, that was a kind of a new age take on it and a lot easier for people to tolerate, right? Frankly, but
well, you got the soccer stadium and the racetrack. And I think eventually that's going to be, a happening area.
Yes.
But in this case, Joe, I agree with you. The other thing I kind of wonder about, I'd love to talk to somebody, who covers, city government, that, politics is so divisive now, even at the local level. You wonder how that's affected, cities that are going after professional franchises, because you've got such a chasm, between the belief systems between two different parties. You wonder if they can come together, for a common cause, such as luring a team to their city.
No, that's a great point. Like bipartisan efforts seem.
You don't hear don't hear that word a lot anymore.
And it's like, okay, wait, so someone on that side is for this? Well, then that means I got to be against it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's a great point. So let's play the. So first of all, the Tennessean and Mike Organ has done a great job of covering Music City Baseball and all of this. And John Lohr, Music City Baseball, I guess essentially sort of downplayed the A's specifically here. I mean, I think in this specific situation, it would be quite a shock if it really advanced to anything. But obviously, there's still an effort here. There's still a desire for it to work out one way or another. Again, if it's going to work out with an expansion franchise, first of all, you have to have that in the CBA. Second of all, you got to have a billionaire. You got to have money.
And then what about the TV deal? Because you look at what happened with the Washington Nationals. They had to pay dearly. They had to pay through the nose to invade the Orioles territory. And it still cost them a ton of money. They have only minority ownership in their own TV network. The Orioles have majority ownership. So if a team comes here, how do they reconcile with the Reds, with the Braves,
right,
and even the Cardinals, who consider this partially their territory?
Yeah.
And believe me, that's a big deal. because local TV money,
big part of their revenue.
Yeah, local TV, yeah, money is a huge part of the revenue.
No doubt. So on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, an unnamed texter here, having all these celebs come forward and said they support the MLB expansion. Again, Mike Organ's done a lot of reporting on that. Yes, and that's great, but they're not coming in and saying, I'm going to put a couple hundred million toward that,
yeah,
too. I mean,
it's great that Justin Timberlake wants baseball here.
Yeah.
But what does that mean?
I mean, if Justin Timberlake wants to invest, yes, now there's a different story. But as of now, it's mostly it's a PR campaign, you know, largely. Now, we've talked about how the Titans, let's be very clear, they're not in on this idea, on this whole let's share downtown, let's have like some cities have. There's no indication at all that they have interest. If that can't work, first of all, do you believe it has to be downtown at some point? How much of a complication is, the fact that we have a AAA park here downtown? And what about the idea of Williamson County, Antioch, something like that? I've heard a lot of different places thrown around.
Well, Williamson County would be a very interesting area, because that's where you get into, the core of youth baseball in this area. And that would be, yeah, I mean, that would make some sense. Not everything, you're right, has to be downtown.
Yeah, I mean, and to your point, so Nate on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I think most of the sentiment would be cool to have baseball in Nashville if my favorite team comes to town. There will be some fans that will want the Nashville team as theirs, but most residents already have an allegiance if they are MLB fans. I wonder if it could end up being like the Pred Wing situation. Well, I think that's fair, but I think, again, there are a lot of probably diehard Pred fans right now who were like Red Wings or Blackhawks or whatever fans. Same thing with Titans. I mean,
yeah,
you have to build that over time.
But hockey didn't have the hold that baseball does. I mean, growing up, everybody has a team, and around here, the Braves, have a huge pocket of fans. So do the Cardinals. So do the Reds. So those allegiances, might be tougher to change, but. It's amazing when a team comes to your city, how suddenly you sort of gravitate towards it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen with the Titans, and like when I got here 5 years ago, I was told ownership's terrible, some of the worst ownership. They fly in from Texas. They don't care. They've neglected the fans for years, and people don't want to, they're losing all this momentum. Now, since I've been here, Amy Adams Strunk has done a ton to fix that, to change that. I think that's wiped away. But I have been underwhelmed by, at times, in some big moments here, the support in that stadium from Titans fans. I mean, so that is another thing that leads me to wonder, okay, are you going to get what you need in terms of turnout? And I know, like you just pointed out, MLB, the local television deals, that is the foundation financially, okay, of MLB. But still, I mean, I think you have to ask that question, too. Like, is this city, as growing as it is, ready to support another franchise like this?
I also don't think you can just count on tourists to fill the ballpark every night, or count on the series throughout the season if it's an American League team, or, if it's the Yankees or the Red Sox in your division. You can't just count on that and say that it's going to work. I mean, you need a lot of local corporate sponsors and season ticket holders for that to work long term. I mean, you can't just rely on the tourists or other fan bases to come in.
And you no longer, in my opinion, can come in and just hope fans will be happy that you have a pro team. Like, look what Vegas did. Vegas came into the NHL, and obviously they changed the game a little bit in terms of the expansion draft. But the feeling now is, if you have an expansion team, you should have a reasonable chance to be competitive, to get fans in the seats. And that's what happened there. And the same thing's going to happen with Seattle. And, like I said, the Preds kind of came in at the wrong time as far as that was concerned.
It's unbelievable, the difference.
You're saying Denis Arkhipov wasn't a number one center?
No, he was not. Sergei Krivokrasov and the rest. But baseball, you know, a baseball team coming in here would have to be fairly competitive right from the get-go.
I mean, the Golden Knights have completely ruined, like,
yeah,
you know, franchise teams. It's just ridiculous. You know, like, I mean, it was a great story, but it was also like, this should not happen, right? There's got to be, got to earn it over a little bit of time.
That's why Preds fans, most true Preds fans hate Las Vegas. It's like anybody but Las Vegas.
And I think, you know, you brought up a great point about gambling. Now that the floodgates have opened.
Yes.
I think Vegas, in pretty short order, is going to have
all four.
Yeah. Two and three are coming here. And that'd be my guess, is that it's the Las Vegas A's.
And the other thing up. And the other thing too is just about every stadium that gets built from here on in will likely have a sports book in it. You're seeing teams are adding sports books to their stadiums. You know, that's going to be another aspect of it. And right now, you know, Tennessee has not passed the brick and mortar aspect of the gambling bill, but there are all sorts of moving parts.
Yeah, that's coming. Yeah, and to your point, in-house, that's coming for sure. All right, so we've thrown a lot of cold water on baseball. We'll get back into the NFL, the Titans schedule here on Robbie and Rex. But first, 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. So tune in every Monday to Darren Donick and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. We'll be back on Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Show. Joe Rex Show, Mark Howard, Ryan Porth producing. We're going to talk Titans, but we got a lot of reaction, Mark, to the idea of Major League Baseball in Nashville. So I'm going to go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty texts in, Lions and Wings fan here. Ty, you got to get rid of one of those. When we moved in the 90s, took about 10 years for me to become a diehard Preds and Titans fans. It was quicker for the Titans due to the Super Bowl run. I mean, I think that happens. I mean, I think that happens a lot. You can have, you know, you can have your old team and embrace it. Hey, I've got a kid. I took him to Red Wings Preds game our first year here, and so he would have been about 8 then. He's still like a Lions fan, like I've said earlier. Like somehow, unfortunately, he had one night in that environment. And he's like, you know what? I'm rooting for the Preds in this game. Somehow the Red Wings won, by the way. But so I mean, you know, you get them young. That's one thing.
Well, I always joke,
grow a fan base.
Yeah, I always joke that for Titans fans, going to that Super Bowl the first year in the new stadium, you know, it was like getting a Maserati for your 16th birthday. Because after that, it just all goes downhill.
Like there's no way it's going to be able to. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I remember from afar. It was like, okay, that's the best environment. It's like what Seattle is now, right?
But what it did to the city. I remember I was in the end zone for the Music City Miracle and all that, but walking around Nashville that day, going to Kroger, people are hugging each other and high-fiving each other. It was unbelievable. It gave me chills that was such a unifying factor you know, for this city. And then what happened with the Preds in 2017 with the watch parties and just what was going on outside the building was so organic and just so, I mean, it just blew me away. Again, gave me chills, made me tear up. I mean, I was so proud of our city because you know how crotchety visiting media is. And they really, for the most part, only two or three people had something bad to say about Nashville. And then the draft where, you know, NFL media, you know, is the worst. And they loved it here. I mean, you didn't hear anything bad. So, yeah, I mean, I'm proud of this city. I'm proud to be a part of it. And it's so fun to see what it's grown into. But, yeah, you know, you get those moments.
Yeah. There were a couple Pittsburgh guys, by the way, whining about the ice.
Yeah.
For the most part, yes. That was incredible. I mean, just the entire – just everything around that was – astounding.
There was also someone in Pittsburgh who accused Nashville of piping in crowd noise.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah,
yes, ridiculous.
Yes, yes. I wish I remember that guy's name, but yeah, that was. Do you remember?
It's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember his exact name.
We had him on our show, and he more or less backed down because he said it just can't be that loud.
It was just baseless.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that was very stupid. Text line is popping, driven by Wilson County Hyundai. WilsonCountyHyundai.com from Xavier. Unless I'm wrong, I don't think there's a city with both an MLB team and a minor league baseball team. How'd the Sounds take the loss and fans to compete with a major league team? The Sounds wouldn't be here. That's the short.
And I would hate it for the Sounds because, you know, they've got a terrific ballpark. That's become such a neat venue. I got to, be at one of the restaurants for our draft coverage, and it's just. I mean, I worked in that area for 20 years, and I don't even recognize it anymore. It's the job they've done is so incredible. So yeah, I would hate to lose that if Major League Baseball came to town.
Yeah, I mean, and look, that's a great park. It's a great time. It's a great location. And I look at that and look back and say, man, you know, when the decision was made, what was the discussion? Was there any discussion at all in this city about, well, MLB's maybe on the horizon at some point? Apparently not, right?
Well, Greer Stadium was just had to go.
Yeah.
And there had been a movement to build a new stadium. They had the plan in place, and it just kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And construction costs went up so much, the whole thing collapsed. The point man for the Sounds left town. I've never heard from him since. It was weird. And then all of a sudden, this ballpark got built. I mean, it was pretty quick. I mean, it came really almost out of nowhere. And sometimes those are the best kind of deals.
But it's kind of a complication. I mean, look, if things were to all come into play, they would happen, right? But
yes.
But it's a bit of a complication, the fact that
it
you've
is.
Invested in this, and it, that would be obviously very tough for the Sounds. On the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, a texter says, I will tell you, as someone who grew up in Tampa, when the Rays Stadium was more than 50% full, it was normally a 70-30 split in favor of the opposing team. It's still largely like that. Yeah, well, look, I mean, that's a franchise, as you mentioned earlier, Mark, that it could be of interest.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to see Tampa come up here.
And, of course, you know what that means in terms of opponents who are coming in here regularly.
Yeah, I get to see the Yankees.
Quite a draw.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be my dream scenario. But I kind of think Montreal, if they go anywhere, they're going to Montreal. And that's a weird market. That definitely is a weird market where you never meet a Rays fan except for Dick Vitale.
Yeah. No, well – I mean, for real, in fact, so I'm going to see my grandmother next week, who lives in Venice, which is near there. And she has adopted them as number two. Now, she's the biggest Tigers fan in the history of Tigers fans. But yeah, I mean, there's not a big – you go if the Tigers are in town.
And let's
face it. You go if your team is in town.
Unless the Tigers are having a brawl in the broadcast booth like they did a few years ago. They haven't been a very exciting watch.
And yet I'm telling you, now that she can get the extra innings, she's still there living and dying with every pitch. But, yeah, it's been a rough go.
How much of the Rays' attendance problems is the location of the ballpark in St. Pete?
Huge.
It's a big part
because
of it.
The Lightning and the Bucks don't have attendance problems.
I know.
Well, that's what they want to do. They want to move it. They want to have something there specific to that. And, again, it's the same sort of idea. Okay, who's paying for it? And if you're not paying for it, then we're going to go here or there. I mean, but yeah, that's exactly what it was a big mistake on their part, and they're paying for it. I mean, but if you're going to compare that, I mean, that team is of interest here potentially, but that to me is there's a lot of factors there that would not be a factor here. I think you'd have fans who would embrace the team, and even if you've got a bunch of it's just like Vanderbilt to me, right? There's people from all kinds of different alma maters in this town. But if you had a good experience there and say, hey, come watch SEC football, I think that you would have a good environment and you'd have good crowds there, even if Vanderbilt is not your number one team. It's happened for Northwestern and Chicago. Now, a lot of times it's Wisconsin fans are 80-20 when the Badgers come in, and so it's not great for the home team. But, you know, I think that there's enough people – that can make it your number two team to give to financially support a team.
Yeah, I mean they've done a terrible job of marketing that program. I mean, just horrible. And no imagination, no nothing. It was James Franklin's biggest frustration when he was here, that they couldn't fill Vanderbilt Stadium up enough. They did a few times. But again, a lot of it was, you know, the visiting team.
Right. Now, I was there at, you know, Vanderbilt-Alabama baseball game because obviously, you know, the attendance has gone up last week. Great crowd, as much as you could have in Hawkins Field. It's fantastic. You know, it's a great option.
Joe, when I first moved here, Memorial Gym was sold out every night.
Yeah.
With Vanderbilt fans. Now, the joke always has always been, every time you read the obits, it's a Vanderbilt fan who's died. I mean, I used to, you know, say that, you know, pretty much, you know, the front five rows was, you know, AARP members. I mean, that's just the way it was.
A mature crowd.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I've been in that place a couple times when it was full and not just with Kentucky fans.
It was like the cast from Cocoon.
Wilford Brimley breakdancing. Yes. Porth? Any? No. Porth, not a movie guy. No. Also a very young guy.
It's not that I'm not a movie guy. I just haven't seen that movie or many other movies.
It's about old people.
Yeah. Breakdancing at some point. Steve Guttenberg, star.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah. I'll add that to the list of over 100 movies that I need to see.
There you go. Well, listen, I agree. Like, Memorial Gym, I love the place. I've seen it a couple times, like with the Tennessee game a couple years ago. Now, that was half and half, but still, that was fantastic. If Vanderbilt Stadium can come up to a certain point of respectability, how much do you think that turns Vanderbilt football into just another entertainment option, even just for the casual person in this town?
I think with as many people that are moving into town, I agree with you, Joe. Who wouldn't want to see an SEC football game at a reasonable price? And I'll say this. I haven't agreed with everything that Candace Story has done, but I think she's made the necessary moves. She was a little slow on the trigger with her women's basketball coach, but she got that done. Like who she brought in, you know, Clark Lee, good hire, and all that. But the marketing aspect of their athletics programs, to me, is vital. And it's showing in football and basketball. I mean, it's stunning to me to see the lack of numbers at Vanderbilt home basketball games.
Yeah. Well, obviously it's been a weird year, but yeah.
Yeah, it has been.
And, yeah, you know, it's just been downhill on the court since the Bryce Drews last year. But there's a lot of potential there, but a lot of work to be done. When we come back, we are going to get into the Titans schedule, the big schedule release, what we think about that, and how early season tests may be putting some pressure on certain members of the Titans coaching staff. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road, Mark Howard in for Robbie. Ryan Porth producing. Talking a little bit of Titans schedule. What a massive day in sports history. The NFL released its schedule. But hey, at least the NFL can put out a schedule, unlike the NHL. Do we have a schedule yet? Do we have a team? Do we have anything?
I think the Titans and Cardinals are going to kick off before we get a playoff schedule.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So looking at that schedule, Mark, one thing that strikes me about the early, well, let's say the first half. Let's say through November 7th, which is the game out in Los Angeles, Sunday Night Football. You know, this defense is a big part of the story. Bud Dupree coming in, Denico Autry coming in, Caleb Farley, you know, other draft picks, a lot of guys out, Shane Bowen officially the DC. I mean, if this defense is transformed, is seriously retooled, is seriously improved, you've got Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson. And you've got Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Matthew Stafford. And, you know, let's throw a couple Colts games in there as well that are huge games. We're going to know. We're going to know quickly, right? I mean, there's no easing in with, like, Jameis Winston and the Saints. That's not till later. The Texans, two games, aren't until, you know, the back half of the schedule. You do get a Jags game, but, gosh, Trevor Lawrence seems like he might be okay at football. How much are we going to learn? How much pressure is there on Bowen? you know, Vrabel, and this whole defense to be ready right away.
Well, they can't believe that they can get away with what they did last year and still win 11 games. Maybe they can, but that was a neat parlor trick to have that few sacks. And it just shows you, for two straight years, the Titans have sort of been statistical flukes. Last year with the sacks, the year before with the production or lack thereof from the place-kicking game, and yet they still won 10 and 11 games. I mean, it's really pretty remarkable. It's like people who criticize Robinson. And I keep hearing, oh, is Robinson on the hot seat? Is Vrabel on the hot seat? I go, no. They've won 10 and 11 games. They can afford to have one or two bad seasons or down years. But, yeah, I agree with you. For what we know now, the Titans could be 4-1, maybe 5-0 in their first five. And then they've got the Bills here on Monday night. And it would be sort of fun for them to be 5-0. Imagine the hype machine on ESPN. I haven't seen the Bills schedule, you know, weeks 1 through 5, but, you know, I would imagine they've got a chance to have a good record coming in.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Sunday against the Chiefs, obviously. And, you know, we're going to the Colts series is weird because they play them in weeks 3 and 8. I don't understand that one. But, what, you know, we'll find out if Frank Reich can, you know, put Carson Wentz back together again.
The Bills' first five games are Pittsburgh, Miami, Washington, Houston, and then at Kansas City on a week before playing the Titans.
Yeah.
So the Bills get the Chiefs and Titans back-to-back, and the Titans get the Bills and Chiefs back-to-back.
Man. That's
like a mid-season round robin between those three.
Well, if it is 5-0, then wow. It's a real 5-0.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I agree with you guys. Look, I picked them to beat Seattle first blush, but far from a gimme. And I don't know why I keep picking them to beat the Colts at home, but I do. But you know, the Wentz thing is just, I have no idea. I don't think it was necessarily a good thing. I mean, some people celebrated when they signed Wentz like it was some great thing for the Titans. I think he could be good again, but he looked so bad last year.
And the Colts are in that situation where they're really pretty good at just about every position except quarterback. That's kind of unusual. So they took a shot. I mean, they spent big. They had the draft capital to do it, and now we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you knew that Phillip Rivers was – I mean, he was a bridge quarterback, and it's an upgrade, and he was. I mean, gosh, they went 11-5. He had really good stats. He also had the killer picks late in some games.
Well, my Nana had a better arm than him. I mean, you saw the way that he threw.
But here, I'm sitting in Nissan Stadium, and I'm saying dink, dink, dink all day long, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, like, there's more upside for them, certainly, to me, with Wentz. There's also a lower floor. Right? Then, like, you knew Rivers was going to come out there and be efficient and move the ball and probably screw up some games. But Wentz could be, he could be a disaster. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, they sign Eric Fisher. That is a big deal because obviously coming out of the draft, it's like the Titans, you wonder what's up with tight end.
Well, losing Costanzo is one of the best offensive linemen in the league.
Right. And so now they sign Eric Fisher. I mean, he's going to be coming off the Achilles. So that Colts-Titans game is September 26th. That's a noon kickoff on CBS here. He's supposed to be back end of September. So that could be the debut of Eric Fisher. To me, that's a big difference for that team, is having him, even if he's 80% of what he's been, you're fine. You know, and the rest of the offensive line is terrific. But not having him, that's a mix and match situation at a position you don't want mix and match. So
wonder who the right tackle is going to be for the Titans.
Well, the thing is, I agree with what you said earlier, Mark, which is, hey, you made a mistake, so you address it wherever you need to address it. You go by your best player available. But if you take him there, to me, he better be the starter, right? I mean, Dylan Raydunz better be the starter for this team, if not week one, awfully early.
Yes.
I mean, Kendall Lamb has been a depth guy in this league. That's fine. You cut Dennis Kelly's salary, and I thought he was pretty good last year, but okay, fine. You make a pick there, he's starting. Or there's a problem.
Mark, do you remember how soon Michael Roos started after he was drafted?
Yeah, they put him on the right side the first year.
And then
it was Brad Hopkins last year.
Yeah.
And then he transitioned over to the left side, and they had also drafted Big Country. They had their bookends for a while.
I mean, the thing about Robinson, again, you've got all the options that aren't getting picked up. You got to have more of that. You got to have more guys you want to give second deals to that you
yes.
draft. There's also so six drafts, three right tackles, you know, taken first, and second. Now,
one of them's been an all pro twice.
Right. One of them, a terrific pick.
Wasn't bad, but just not in all the years the Titans needed him to be.
Yeah, right. I mean, he was great as a rookie, and that team goes from worst in the league to on the cusp of the playoffs, and he was a big part of that. But, I mean, that's a lot of right tackle. That's
yes.
a lot of right tackle high in the draft. You know, the hot seat thing, I think with John Robinson in particular, to me, like, actual hot seat means are you in trouble with ownership? I think his seat is ice cold.
Yes.
Ice cold. Now, I do think fan frustration, there's going to be, you know, sometimes they align, right? Sometimes reality and
yes.
fan sentiment align or close. I think with him, it is, and I think with Vrabel, too, to an extent, there's a little, if things go the other way this year, I don't think there's any real danger at all in terms of job security.
Oh, yeah.
But I find Titans fans to be pretty frustrated right now, which is interesting. You're 11-5, but I think what it is partially, Mark, is like you just said, how did you win 11 games with that defense? It was so hard to watch, and you did, and Isaiah Wilson, and some of these choices that have led to this.
Now, I always thought it was interesting the way you would, you know, term the Titans last year, and that is a team with a 13-3 offense and a 6-10 defense. Or something close to that,
right?
Which is really true. So does that open them up to more criticism, or does Vrabel get credit, you know, for somehow, you know, getting them to the finish line with 11 wins with a pretty mediocre defense?
Well, it depends on your perspective,
yeah.
Right? I mean, if you're a sunshine blower, then you can, or if you're a doom and gloomer, then it's always, you know, somebody's fault. But listen, I will say this. If I'm a fan of a team and that's the split, I'd rather have that team have a fun offense to watch
yes.
than have to win a bunch of 13-9 games, right?
Well, and for years, this fan base has seen some pretty crappy quarterbacking. So, at least, yeah, you're right. At least they're seeing points.
Yeah, exactly. All right, when we come back, we're going to have Luke DeCock, News and Observer columnist, and also a guy who very well knows the Carolina Hurricanes. Maybe he can tell us when the Preds and Canes are going to start. That's next on Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 102.5. Coming to you from the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.